Carol at carolcox.com, C-A-R-R-O-L-L at C-A-R-R-O-L-L dot com. And you can also get me at by phone, 808-782-6627. Or go to, for some of the other work that we do, go to EnviroWatch at EnviroWatch.org, EnviroWatch.org, at EnviroWatch.org. So there's many stories out there, and we've produced, I think, somewhere maybe 1,400, 1,500, 1,600 hours of recorded shows and podcasts. So feel free to go to any of those and go to carolcox.com, and you can pull those up. And we're always anxious to listen for any environmental tips or violations that you may witness or have brought to your attention of your supervisors or others, and no attention is given. So please feel free, and we try to help the environmental injustice concerns and move them along, and also just the environmental concerns. So feel free at any time, leave us a message. So today I was going to discuss the what is going on at Cool Hill Place, or Cool Hill Avenue there in Palolo on the island of Oahu. And what is happening is that there's a, we've talked about it a couple times, but now it's been about 2.5 years that we've been talking about it, and there's some really grave concerns up there. A lot of people are losing it's creating a hardship, and that what's happening is that the hillside is sliding, and there's many reasons and explanations being explored, and as to who caused it, what caused it, when it caused it, and how did it cause it, and what have you. But the reality is, what we're pressed with right now is that there's an imminent threat. And imagine living on a hillside and two blocks up the hill, basically, we'll say two blocks, is slipping and moving. Massive amounts of soil, and we don't talk about truckloads. We're talking about train loads, millions and millions of pounds, if not tons, that are being just potentially sitting there, waiting, becoming saturated with rain, just all of that, and gravity having an effect. And what has happened sometimes, the allegations or the concerns is that the water, just natural rain, and has collected in that area up top, loading the soil and causing some impacts. And some claim the water main, the city water main. Some claims the city sewer, and just on and on and on. But the reality is, they've had to close and demolish several houses, at nearly 10 or more, in that general area years back. And some indicate that it started with the 10 years, 1989, the flood. But I think it, given all the considerations and all the things taking into consideration, all the things that could be playing on that, influencing that, who knows? It probably dates farther back than that, because the earlier use was a quarry, and that quarry was, in the old days, they didn't cause compaction, and so it depends on how the water was diverted, if it was diverted, which level, and all of that, to prevent any erosion on the ground. So it appears that all of the soil that has shifted went somewhere, and it's possibly downhill, some suspect. They've the city is involved and has in fact purchased or paid off some of the people that were involved, that are impacted. And some are holding on for dear life to try and reduce their losses, because what is happening is that their houses are about to slip and fall, roll down the hill, being smashed by the movement of the soil. And it's just not a pretty sight. And if you want to see some of the photographs that we've taken over the years, go to carolcox.com or go to talk808.com, talk808.com. And you can see some of them. Massive uplifting and displacement of the soil that is there, and the impact. Again, there's many concerns, and people are expressing concerns with several things. One, many suspect that the city's water main breakage has contributed to the demise of the build of the properties. Two, the sewer lines are broken, and they point fingers at the sewer line. But the reality is, it's something that's just sitting and waiting. It's a catastrophe in the making. And I'm personally, not that it matters, but when I'm up there walking around taking pictures and documenting, the hair on my back of my neck stands up, folks. That's how eerie it is. You see the earth moving, and you don't know when it's going to snap like a rubber band. You just don't know. Or it may not. But the topography and all of that makes a difference and might lend itself to a major disaster. And I don't mean that as the sky is falling or Chicken Little. And I'm not basing that on any scientific degrees that I don't have relating to hydrology. But I do know that gravity, and I've had geology classes, and I know about loading and the elasticity of soils, and the soils and the clay materials serve as a filler, the water has to go somewhere, and it loads and creates a great angle, and so the substrate below it is solid rock. So basically, you just have a ice cube sliding across the table. There's nowhere to go but down. Now, is that science? I don't know, but what I can tell you is that they have monitoring devices up there. Since we first started, they've increased the number of monitoring devices that are involved. So we got a letter from, this is some of the background that's going on. We got a letter that was sent out by the city. And the city and county of Honolulu, dear Kuahea Place property owners, as a follow-up to our September 26, 2019 meeting, during which a temporary above-ground sewage bypass option was presented, the city has informed the owners of the private sewer line have opted instead to repair the damaged portion of their sewer line. As a result of this new development, and also as a private roadway parcel is jointly owned, the city requests your consent for entry to perform sewer-related work within Kuahea Place. More specifically, the work includes the relocation of a segment of sewer line within Kuahea Place from the lower sewer line manhole to a new connection point within the Kuahea Street. The attached sketch shows the proposed sewer line relocation. This work allows a city to bypass sewer lines, sewer flows around the project work area to accommodate construction activities. The cost for this work will be borne entirely by the city. A consent to enter form will be emailed separately to each property owner. We appreciate your timely consideration and your signature to indicate your consent. Signatures are requested as soon as possible. The final signed copy will be provided for your records. Thank you, John S. Lemaire, City and County of Honolulu. Now, they write a follow-up to our September 26, 2019. So recent. A number of the people there are reluctant to sign on and be a part of, and they say they'd repair their own. But the area that's of concern in this situation, there are properties above the sewer line that are impacted. So the question is, what do you do? Now, one of the homeowners up there, Mr. Mike Glenn, he was going to call in and share with us some of the historical background and backdrop of this situation, of what was going on. But there's some serious damages that is in being incurred here. And city streets, city water mains. Now, one of the arguments or concerns is that whatever the city is doing, the city is dragging its feet, as described by some of the homeowners or tenants up there or people that live there in the area. But if you want my honest opinion, I don't know. A lot of them are in lawsuits, I'm learning. They are either suing the city or suing one another. And I don't have much to say about that. I'm not an attorney. I don't give it legal advice. And I would just simply say that if it was me, and just strictly speaking for me, and drawing a parallel, if I was in that predicament, I would, based on my knowledge and observance of other situations similar to this, if not water, some other factors or what have you, I would sit down and try to bring closure to this, and maybe I might be taking a loss, but it wouldn't be a 100% loss. I would go and work with the city, because the city has the right to, if I'm not mistaken, and again, this is not legal advice, this is just a conversation, and I'm giving you my thoughts. You might want to throw them in the trash can as you walk out the door. But the city can condemn the properties and pay you what they decide through an equation, I'm told. And there's a certain formula, and that formula is the gospel. But if you can work with them and get something better, then I would do it, because if not for the financial concerns, I'm horrified at the sight and the thought. Hill slides down. We've had major landslides in other areas, and people have lost their lives. Don't mention their fancy cars, but this is serious. And I don't know how, again, if it was me in a predicament like this, I don't know how I could sustain myself financially to come up with an argument or come up with something solid to challenge or counter the stance or the objections of the city and county or their desire to do certain things or actions they want to take, I would have to try and, first of all, if I'm going to lay blame, and that's probably something that I witness is kind of difficult, because you'd have to come in with the hydrology, the cause and effects of it, the what caused it, who caused it. And then I've asked around and talked to a few lawyers and asked them. A couple of them actually said, well, I know the property in the area you're talking about. I've already had, was representing a couple of people in that, and it didn't go anywhere. Now, some have been, unfortunately, have hired attorneys or an attorney and was moving along fine. The attorney, unfortunately, passed. And so, and just got a call here. I was hoping we'd hear from Attorney Glenn. And if you're listening, 782-6627 is the number. But anyway, the couple of the attorneys said they had actually interacted and had actually represented some of the people. And at one point, we were told, now, a lot of this is, it's a scary situation. Imagine you want to see your life, how life can be complicated. So imagine you learn that your house is shifting and you see your floors buckling and cracking and your roof's becoming deformed and your doors won't close anymore and everything on your cabinet is falling out and rolling out. And you go outside and you look and you see your driveway has dropped down a couple of feet or more than a couple of feet and you can't drive your car in and you can't get your car out. Now imagine that. And then further imagine your neighbor then comes along and says, well, you know, your wall is shifting and it's causing damages to my wall. Or to my property, it's threatening my property. So I'm going to have to sue you. And so these are some of the things that are occurring there. And what makes it difficult is that the atmosphere there is that some say, and I don't have any facts or proof of this, but some of the property owners say that they had concerns with the city countersuing because someone had expressed concerns that the city would, in fact, countersue the homeowner if they were to be sued by the homeowner. Now, I don't know if the city has that right to. I guess you can sue a cookie nowadays if you want to. You can, or at least file the action and wait for it to be accepted or not. But whatever action is filed or taken, you as a homeowner, you on the other side will have to respond or go into default or what have you. So it's a terrible situation there. Very strange one. And so you have that activity, the human behavior going on, suing one another, and I just don't know. I think I sympathize and empathize with the people that own the properties because as a property owner here in Hawaii myself, I'm quite worried that whatever, you never know what can present itself or fall at your doorstep or at your feet and become a problem for you. Whether you live where I live or on the mountainside or near a stream. But going back and proving, I've had this discussion with a number of people, and they tend to concur. Going back and finding who was responsible for it will take a truckload of money. And then you would have to have another truckload of money to file the legal action or become an attorney yourself and file on your own behalf, represent yourself. But for those that don't have, and there's many elderly there, and just yesterday, what a sad image. Senior citizens and younger people, too, having to portal or walk across a makeshift walkway that they all got together at their own expense and paid to be able to travel back and forth to their cars. Now, that's the small part of that. The list significant. The worry that I have is that the mountain itself, the hillside itself, is sliding and creeping and moving. And at what point will it become loaded so much so that there's nothing to stop it or to hold it, and it won't creep anymore but start to erode faster and more swifter, becoming more deadly? And so the city, if nothing else, if all that are listening out there, again, not legal advice that I'm giving here, but my assessment is that you better have a lot of money and a lot of patience and a lot of luck. If you're going to fight them and prove your case, I would move to safer grounds, number one. Number two, I wouldn't be lingering around there, and I would go somewhere else and fight my battle. I would, if I chose to fight them, I would fight them. But I dang sure wouldn't stay around there in my home office. And imagine the threat and the fear that it must exist there. One lady told me that she sleeps with both eyes open. Maybe a cat nap here and there, but she's always feeling. And within a week, she says, I can't see the movement in real time. But sometimes when I come in and I step up over my garage door or driveway or go out on the curb, there's a crack that's gotten deeper. And I'm not near the ground zero. I'm on the edge down below. So one of the things that puzzled me, and I was looking at they have the city, when I say they, the city apparently has drawn a zone, and your house could be 1 foot away from the quote zone. So the question is, how do they know to include these houses in this zone when they don't really know what all of the impacts and influences that are there? And I honestly do not believe that the city has a grasp on any of this. And when you look at it, I know they got many things to do, but that's why we have contractors, and a contracting company could in fact do the work that the city needs to be done. I think personally what's going to have to happen in this, and looking at it now, it's so big in size and such a big problem. I suspect that the city will move to condemn. And there's many of the people say that, well, We haven't heard anything from the city. The city is, I don't know the liabilities that exist or who owns the liabilities, but I would say that the city has a responsibility for the safety of the citizens, and if they know and they've gotten geological information and sensors detectors there to monitor the movement of the soil and as it's sliding down slope or across the slope, that is something the city is having to factor in. And that may be the reason why the city's not moving, because I think from some of the work that I saw there just yesterday was probably just wasted effort and wasted money. And that money, rather than spending more money to tidy up the place and put a nice coating on it, I think they should take that money, all of that money that they're spending and studying and what have you, and meet with the people and offer them a reasonable or what is allowed by law, a closure to this and compensation to them. I don't, again, I'm not a legal person, and I don't hold a PhD in geology or physiology or hydrology, but I've been around, and I know many of things, and I know trouble when I see it. And I would apply the basic instincts. When you know you're facing the giant and it just don't look good, you have to draw a conclusion. And if my suggestion, if there was me in that predicament, I'd be consulting with my attorney to see what I could get that is best allowed and what is appropriate, and I'd be on my way out. I'd close the door on that matter. I really would. Because you're risking your life, and there's so many uncertainties that looms there. And I think maybe the city, as I say, there are a couple things going on. At Nuuanu, we covered stories and the same situation. Suspected in the culprit in this one, it was a city sewer line where the old clay sewer pipes had broken for years and continued to flow and wash away the soil under the surface, creating a load and putting the water on in an area that the soil will collect, make it impassable. The water don't drain fast enough, building water, and then start to slope and get a slurry. And that slurry presents itself at your doorsteps, as we saw a couple of the houses there in Nuuanu. Now, in the Mauna Willi area there, we saw the same thing about 2 weeks ago. It's been a year of work going on. Not a sinkhole as a result of a sewer line or a water main break, but as a poor management of the discharge waters, the flumes. And they have a massive discharge there going on in soil in an effort to, when I say discharge, spending of money. More than $1 million already spent, and possibly more millions to be spent to address a sinkhole there. So again, the common thread here is that it's city management. That's not to lay blame on the Kuhair problem. But then you go to Kuhair, Palolo area. So there's three, just, and I'm sure there's probably more if we put our feelings out and feelers out to see if we can find, there'd be more, but I'm speaking to three of them that I could find. And the interesting thing is that happening here, I learned of this matter by chasing, I'll describe it as chasing, use the term chasing, but looking into investigating the practices of trash, of building a trash facility or enhancing and modifying a trash facility at Middle Street owned by the city and county of Honolulu. And so I was there photographing and I noticed a company logo that I was not familiar with in detail, but didn't know much about it, but I had heard that they were doing some work on the facility. And so I made note of it and went to check the contracts and the city contracts and what have you, and learned that this company was in fact hired to do this and got won the bid, but defaulted in the actual delivery of service, of work. Then I note another job hired by the city that this business was successful in winning the bid. And that bid was in Kuhair, Palolo, the area that we're talking about. And that was to put pavement on the street and do some engineering task or something for that had been abandoned by another contractor, or abandoned or decided notification that they couldn't perform or something. I don't have the details in front of me. But this company received it. And that company then defaulted, the same company that I witnessed at Middle Street. So in my efforts to try and find out how many contracts this company had won, and this is somewhat off subject, but it relates, it's related. So then we look further, and I find that the same company that was doing the Middle Street property and defaulted on that, and then defaulted on the Kuhair property, also had obtained a contract to build the Mapalaoa Bridge in Nanakuli or Maile. And that was about $9 million. All that came of it was a staging ground built and default. So we're looking at about $15 million in state and city contracts. Then we learn the same company had another contract on the Big Island for several million. I can't think right now. I'm getting old, so this is just off the top of my head. But several million dollars that had not been the work had not been delivered and default. And then there were other work. So what I'm getting at is that the bigger question was asked, well, gee, why, this was at nighttime that I went and found this area up off of 10th Avenue, Kuhair, and late evening, just turning dark. And so you get there and you can sit there and you can hear the water dripping, running. And then I got out of my car and look around and find out, was told by someone there that this area was impacted by mudslides and the whole mountain was sliding and being degenerated. So, kind of an ominous feeling. Didn't sound. And then you look and you pay close attention, you see the houses, and this is at nighttime, you see them crooked and cracked, and the walls, massive cracks or fissures in the walls, and the house garage is collapsing and caving in, and you see lights on inside of these homes. So the question that's burning in my mind then and now is that why would the city put any money at all in paving or doing anything when they know they had such a massive movement of soil and the potential of it getting worse? Why would you put asphalt and do work? And also, what I had learned is that there were potholes in the front area of some of the homes and on the road, and they brought in truckloads of material and dumped them inside and didn't fill it up. That's how deep these sinkholes were. So the question looms is that why then would the city not close the area, move to close the area, just out of caution? Or if nothing else, and I know it would be a cost, but what is the cost of human life? I mean, we know that they waste more money on just nonsense than there are, I would say, potentially 200 people, 300 people would be impacted if it were to break, or more, because you have the streets and the roads and no telling what time it would occur and the hardship that it would present if that road collapsed and that hillside collapsed. Then what do we do for the people that live on the opposite side that got to get to and from work, or it would just cause a major disruption? I know there's some other way out. But again, the danger that's presented here and the hardship that can be experienced if you don't do it right. So on one hand, the public has a right and the homeowners there have a right to be a little leery and try to get some compensation, fair compensation. But I don't think, and I did hear two of them say on occasion that they wanted to get the maximum because they had invested in the properties and they wanted to get the market value, what they could possibly sell it. And I would say that you really don't have a position to bargain from. Because at some point, the city has an obligation for the interest of the public's health and welfare to bring closure to this. And I personally, if I was in that predicament, I would be trying to stay ahead of the game and knowing, being nervous that they have the potential of condemning each and every property. And I don't know. I've seen some weird things happen in courts, but I don't believe that the city would lose this one. And I'm just talking out of thin air. I'm just rambling. But I know that as a taxpayer, I expect when the city is wrong or at fault or there's something that they did, I would go and attach that and be motivated to get recovery of funds and loss of wages or loss of income or whatever it is. If I could attach their bad behavior or their failure or negligence or failure to do due diligence and all of that, then I'd seek out an attorney and ask for compensation. But based on what I've read and what I've gathered in documents, and if we were sitting around at the table playing cards, I would utter these words. Give it some thought. Because Mother Nature and gravity and water and soil may work on a different schedule than the human courtroom or the human legal process. They all of them may convene and be the right timing, and all of a sudden a massive explosion you'll hear, or the elasticity of that, or a snap, and all of that material comes sliding down because it has nothing to stop it. And who knows where it would go. So we've been lucky so far, and it's unfortunate. And I thought, well, I could get in and help the people and go and do the records, but there's been a number of lawsuits, many lawsuits. And apparently, the tortoise and the hare scenario, they're racing. The homeowner is up against a wall. The only thing between them and the failure of that mountainside is their luck. The city can't contain it. The city can't control it. They haven't been able to quantify it or identify the real culprit in this, because there's numerous culprits. And I would personally, if I was an owner up there and as a bystander here, I would say, consult your lawyer, your attorneys, or your legal staff, and ask them what is it that you could do to bring closure to this, and what can you do to get the maximum amount of money that is legally allowed, that a courtroom would recognize, that due to certain equations or formulas that exist, that is used by the metropolitan areas of government to compensate. And I would be saying au revoir. Sometimes that's the way life deals. But be safe and be wise. And we'll all keep our fingers crossed, and hopefully that you don't lose and you get compensated. But more importantly, that your families are safe. And if you're going to bicker with them over the prices and whatever, or when I say bicker, I don't mean that to be in a demeaning fashion. But do it from afar. Don't stay there at the bottom of the hill or on the hillside and negotiate with them. You know, go to the next exit. If you're on the freeway, you don't have a bumper, a fender bumper, and stand on the side of the freeway, the Dan Ryan in Chicago or anywhere, and have a discussion about which body shop and who has insurance. You generally, the best thing to do is pull off the next exit where it's safe, and you can negotiate and exchange phone numbers and exchange. So do the same thing. If you're going to fight this out, do it from a distance. That would be my suggestion. That would be my approach to this. I'm not saying don't fight them now, and I'm not saying don't seek adequate compensation. But I'm also saying be wise, because what I see in the last 2 years and how it has deteriorated, I'm surprised that it's still standing. I thought maybe it had fallen worse. But it's getting there. So anyway, I appreciate you listening in, and we'll hopefully hear from Mr. Glenn, Attorney Glenn, later on or some other time. But others have called in, and I got a couple of texts here. So what I'll do, I'll contact you by text and give you whatever answers you were looking for, information. But anyway, we are still working on a number of projects, and the Red Hill Oily Waste Pit, there's efforts to try and get, on the 19th, there's a meeting with the Navy and the State Health Department on Red Hill fuel oil depot underground storage tanks. And I was a little shocked that there is so much attention given to the fact that the state, it was revealed that if they don't process the permit in a certain time, it becomes, the Navy gets the permit automatically. Well, hello. We've discussed that, and that has been one of the backbreakers of many of the issues in encouraging people to violate the laws. And that's called permit by rule. It's nonsensical. And the state health department, for those of you that are willing to listen and really want to take action, abandon the thought that the state health department is your friend. They are not your friend. They are complicit. They are not the people's watchers, caretakers, caregivers, or protectors. They are a bunch of overpaid people that have become part of a clique. Now, you're talking about the state, the secret state. You will start with the health department. Now, remember, Bruce Anderson, Dr. Bruce Anderson, had a role in, he was there as the director of the health department years back and having a lot to do with Red Hill and the reporting of Red Hill and what have you. And the handling and the waiver and the increasing of EALs and all of those things. And now he's the folks' champion, which is nonsense because, again, the Navy believe that they can defer from the rules, the underground storage tank rules. They have sovereignty. What is the state going to do? When the state makes an effort to get the sufficient number of people to do the inspections, to do the enforcement, then I would put some trust in it. And this permit by rule has been a practice where, whether it's solid waste management, Richard Lee had a permit by rule permit where the state did not process the permit. And out there on Cunier Road, he operated a facility, a solid waste facility. And there were others. Now, what would be the explanation why they couldn't process the permit in time? Well, because they didn't have the sufficient number of inspectors to go out and inspect and regulate. And they made no effort to get anyone. And the monies that they did get, they spent it on other things. So I understand the Sierra Club has filed a lawsuit about that, but it's been a practice and still is a practice, whether it's Clean Water Act. And there's another dangerous precedent that has been set with the state health department, guided by, and Larry Lau used to be there running the health department and what have you, and the consent decrees. The consent decree is nothing more than a shield for that crooked people use to protect one another. In this fashion, in this state, that has repeated itself over and over and over. We've complained about it many times. We've pointed it out numerous times. And so I wished I could join in and sing Kumbaya and get excited about the state health department being part of this effort to enforce the rules on the Navy, when in fact, and you're right, the Case, Representative Case, Congressman Case, he too prescribed as for his clients that the Navy and its clients are sovereign to state rules and state enforcement. We have letters that speak to that. So I think what you're going to see is a dog and pony show. The state is complicit and responsible for the failure of those tanks as anybody. They're as guilty as this Navy could ever be found guilty. Because, as you recall, I've read to you from reports that they had reports the Navy was failing to submit quarterly reports for contamination on the testing of the wells for 21 months. And quarterly, every 3 months or every 4 months, I guess, they should have been filing reports. And when they did file reports, the state didn't review them. And they were placed on our desk and left there until we came along and made a public records request for them. So I don't want to burst your bubble. And when you go to this meeting on the 19th, be prickly about it. Don't be docile and passive, because all you're going to get is BS. Dr. Bruce Andrew Anderson has no more solution than anybody. And one other thing is that, you see, when they were actually excluding and treating the border water supply as a bastard child, they being the Navy and Bruce Anderson or the health department at that time, Bruce wasn't involved in the role at that time, at 2014. But that's, whether it's TMK, the TMT, Bruce Anderson was involved in TMT. Everything went to hell in a handbasket. That is why we're having arguments today. In 2004, it was the last time that we actually had a solid and hazardous waste inspection on TMK. They covered up many of inspections and found mercury stored illegally, hauled chemicals illegally, deposited chemicals illegally, and all of those things up on TMK. So, again, and I'll say this, and I won't have to say I'll say it publicly, I say it now and it could be repeated and replayed. Dr. Bruce Anderson and the whole bunch means nothing but trouble for and delay, and there's some trick up their sleeve. And when they engage in a consent decree, you go and try to talk to them, because it is a public concern. You should be able to access all the information, but they have secrets. We were still looking at, and I'm just looking to see which angle to take, approach it now. The oily waste pit at Red Hill, where the oil is bubbling out of the ground from the deposit, and the lying and the thievery that went on, is going on with the health department and the HERE division or department. And we're going to continue to ask questions, but we're just trying to right now put something together. We got a little surprise, I think, coming. But when we put all of this together, we look at back to cool hell. If the sewer lines were broken, then where was or where is the health department wastewater branch, clean water branch? What have they done to force the city and county of Honolulu to address and manage and bring closure to the spillage of the broken pipes? So that's all for now, and I appreciate you listening in, and thank you for joining in talk808.com. I'm Carol Cox. Go to carolcox.com. Aloha.